This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. On Capitol Hill right now, former CDC Director Susan Meneses, who was fired by Health Secretary Robert Kennedy. The Federal Reserve meeting today. It's expected to cut interest rates for the first time in months. Mortgage rates already dropping in anticipation of the move.
A rate cut can also lower costs for car loans and credit cards. Right now, the average credit card interest rate is still near a record 20%. So at that level, if you carry a $5,000 balance on your card and you're only making minimum payments, you will be in debt for 16 years and pay $6,900 in interest.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. President Trump basking in British royal spectacle. Greeted by military honor guards and mounted troops as he and the First Lady arrive as guests of the King and Queen at Windsor Castle. It's the president's second state visit to the UK. The president, the first elected political leader in modern times to be hosted twice. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Could Wisconsin State Capitol see additional security? That's what some lawmakers are proposing. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers, as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
A proposal in the last legislative session failed to advance to a vote. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the 4th. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. When you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers, getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
Still staying unseasonably warm today with highs climbing to the mid-80s. The chance of showers and storms returning by early evening. They do look to keep us damp through the night, leaving us tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies, highs cooler, flirting with 80, and more showers and storms by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and Appleton native son, actor Mike McGill, whose credits include Shameless and Bosch, and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842.
I've never heard you say it that slow.
We say it fast
eight,
a lot.
Five. We need. You know what? From now on, then, we need to pull some dramatic music in the 855-752-4842.
See, that stands out. We're trying to set it apart a little bit. Or 855-75-CIVIC. That works too. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He has been our guest numerous times in the past, and we are delighted to have him back. James Vanderloo is the head at OEC Group Milwaukee, which is a global freight forwarder and a leading company in trans-Pacific trade. Good morning, James. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, Jane, Greg, and Calvin. It's great to be with you guys. Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm not going to complain. We're almost going to make it through the hump today. So,
well, that's
there
good.
You go.
That's,
all right.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's hump day.
Yeah.
Let's talk tariffs and global trade and supply chains. Supply chains, we learned a lot about, I want to say, during the COVID shutdown. And that was the first time that I was made aware of just how complicated it is to get things from point A to point B and all the spots in between. And now with the tariffs, because there is still a lot of certainty out there. Is that accurate?
Yes, and that's sort of the biggest thing still is really the uncertainty. I try to make it, I've tried to use this analogy. It's not 100%, but it kind of makes sense for most people. Just imagine you have to pay your taxes that are due today. You know that you probably have to pay more than what you think, but you don't quite know exactly what that is. And sort of the rules are changing day by day, but you're still expected to be submitting your tax payment to the government today. So otherwise it's late and they'll come after you and tell you that you need to have more. So it's that uncertainty is kind of, I would say kind of been the predominating thing this year. That's the issue that most people have. I think that if you talk with most companies, they'd rather just sort of know what the game plan is going forward and then just go by those rules versus just kind of having to reassess, every other week or whenever there's an extension or, do I ship now? Do I wait? So those have kind of been the issues that I've been seeing a lot of this year.
But I think that's a really good analogy that you made, James, because again, okay, today I know I'm going to have to pay $500 more in my taxes. So I put that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then 3 days later, it's only going to be $250. Well, now do I spend that $250 that I have extra or do I keep it in case in another 3 days it goes up to $1,000 I'm going to owe on my taxes?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot plan. We've talked about this so many times about how businesses hate uncertainty.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of been that's the issue that we speak to. And again, these businesses are resilient. They are working very hard to work with companies like ours to figure out, okay, what's the best way I can do? Can I use these provisions within free trade agreements? Can I use these things within agriculture to kind of mitigate a lot of the tariff impact? And, you know, we've had to learn a lot in addition to our customers. That being said, they've had to focus on these things versus focusing on how to grow their business or ordering more things or focusing on selling their products. So again, you know, regardless of sort of whether you believe in the tariffs or not, that's just something we've sort of seen sort of a day to day is just what the companies are having to prioritize and what they're needing to like divert their resources to during these tariff negotiations.
And it's something for me, it felt like, you know, as I'm not a person who I am a person affected by the tariffs and as much as I am a consumer, but I don't work directly with them on either export or importing. And I would just always in my head figure, oh, well, James and the people in his industry, they know what's going on. They'll get a sheet every day saying, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. But really when it comes down to it, we're all sort of in it. Because we do this show, people will say to me, well, what's going on with the tariffs? I'm like, I have no idea because that's just it. Like one day we hear 50%. Okay. We know this country is getting 50%. 3 days later, that's on hold. So it kind of feels like now we're all in this together, whether you're in the industry or outside of it, and we just have to just wait for, to lack of better terms, wait for the whims of the government.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing is you know, everyone's like, you know, can you point to a demonstrable effect that the tariffs have had? And it's kind of tough to say because in our industry, things take just such a long time. It takes, you know, 30, 40 days to even transport something. Before that, you have to put in your order with the supplier overseas, which can take, depending on the product, 30 to 60 days. So all of these things take a really long time to play out. I think you're now just starting to really see the beginning effects of kind of how the tariffs have acted with, in the market. So there was, you know, it's sort of a tale of two cities. You're going to see some numbers coming out of like Los Angeles saying, wow, we've never handled this amount of, or this is, you know, we're near record numbers in terms of volume. The caveat to that is that the National Retail Federation and a lot of industries are projecting, you know, a very slow end of the year. They're projecting that basically by December, container volumes are going to be near what they were of lows in 2023. So, you know, I think we're just starting to see that beginning phase. A lot of companies decided when there was that first round of pauses, well, I better bring in everything that I need for the year.
Now,
I don't know what's going to happen
right
after the fact. You might have some people that held off, but traditionally, there's a little bit of a rush at the end of the year for Chinese New Year, or Lunar New Year, which is in March in 2026. So typically, there's a rush. We don't really know if we're going to be seeing that rush that there normally is during that time. So I would say that, you know, we're really starting to see that effect of where these tariffs are in terms of the ordering practices, and we'll really kind of need to, unfortunately, wait a little bit longer to see, you know, how these tariffs are actually affecting the entire economy as a whole.
If you're just joining us, James Vanderloo is our guest. He's the head of the OEC Group. Milwaukee, they do a lot of imports, exports, things like that, and we're talking about tariffs. Is there a deadline coming up in November, James, as far as tariffs?
Correct. So there's a few deadlines. So a few months ago, they said, hey, we've got something planned with China. It's been crickets ever since. We're kind of still waiting for some direction on that. You'll hear, I think yesterday you've heard there was some type of breakthrough with involving TikTok and all of these things. So again, we've really had to broaden our understandings of what these trade agreements are meant to sort of accomplish. But yeah, so there's a deadline coming up in November. And that will be the one, those will be sort of the bigger ones. And what we've, I think when I came on here and basically told, when we first started talking about this, you're starting to see some of these tariff agreements sort of work themselves out in some ways. And that's, I think that's been sort of the surprising thing that we learned from some of the people that work in Washington is like, you know, how many of these countries have actually been coming to try to get a deal made. And I think they're just kind of, obviously, this is taking a lot longer than I think some people maybe anticipated. My thought was that this is obviously a very huge task, and therefore it's probably going to take a lot of time. Yeah. But we're starting to see, you know, some of these deadlines come in. The 10% is, you know, it's going to affect businesses, but it might not affect their ordering behavior. When you get up to that 20 to 25%, that's when it really starts affecting companies' bottom lines. And then, so of course, you're starting to see, you know, these tariff rates fall in that like 15 to 20%. So it's going to be hurting people, I think, quite a bit, probably near the maximum of what their threshold would be. And it's, you know, I think these things will slowly kind of trickle in, you know, the closer we get to November. But of course, there could always be another extension or something that we just don't really know.
90 deals in 90 days. I seem to recall that was one of the big things that was touted right after the results of the election. 90 deals in 90 days. Boom, boom, boom. It's going to get done so fast. Everybody can't wait. We're waiting.
Yeah.
We're still waiting.
Yeah. Like I said, there's been a couple. And then the most surprising one that we saw was obviously the 50% one that got hit with that hit India due to their purchasing of Russian oil. That was one that kind of, I think, caught people a little bit more off guard than they were looking for, because for a while, India had sort of been an alternative to using China for a lot of the goods, which China obviously is the one that's penalized the most right now with the Section 301, the Section 232 steel and aluminum tariffs, and then the IEEPA, which is the sound that most customs brokers make every day when they see the new the new publications coming from the government. But that stands for the International Emergency and Economic Powers Act of 1977. So that's where that all comes from. So all of these things are stacking on top of each other. There's some cases where a couple of the tariffs will apply. There's some where all of them will apply. And it's just, you really have to dig deep. And they just keep on kind of like broadening the scope of what's included in these potential powers. And then we obviously, to make things even more confusing, talking about your deadline in November, you know, we have a Supreme Court case coming up to determine whether these are even constitutional in the first place or not. So,
well, there's something that I want to, and please tell me if this is incorrect, but I found this on the internet. Heard of it? It's a website called TradeComplianceResourceHub.com, and it's basically a tariff tracker, and you can go country by country and see which country, what sort, so reciprocal or additional. You can see it says threatened, implemented, exempt, the percentages. So you can actually kind of, I found this today on the internet. Go look for it. But I will put that website in the show notes. So you can kind of, because that's the ultimately the problem, James, is that I don't know how many countries have tariffs. I don't know what's being threatened versus implemented versus exempt. So this will give you a nice rundown of what's going on. As far as I know, if James, you have a better resource, please let me know. But like, that's really what I think one of the most important things is to figure out, because, as you know, the president will say 200% on Tuesday, and then it'll be like 5%. We're good. And I guess the question I have, and you can answer this on the other side after we come back from our snack and water break, is just you said that everything runs slower because of everything that goes on in the industry. So therefore, it's hard to point to people who say, well, tell me how the tariffs are bad to begin with. How to point to things that are tangible and say, here are the things you asked for them, here they are. But also get people to understand that, yeah, we're not going to see everything right away. It's going to take months and months
for this to show up.
So like pointing to those tangible effects and saying, right there, there's a thing, here's the start. You know, is it possible to do that still or yet? Or are we still just, as you said, waiting?
We're going to continue our conversation with James Vanderloo. I want to ask you about what your clients say when they hear Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent say that American consumers don't pay tariffs. I want to hear about the number of spit takes that you've heard over the phone talking to clients when they hear the head of our Treasury Department say that obvious falsehood, because that's kind of what it is. Just throwing it out there. Also, we want to talk about, there is a new report this morning that came out in Bloomberg about U.S. home starts are the lowest since they've been in months, and what that's going to mean as well going forward. Stay with us. We're talking to James Vanderloo, head of the OEC Group Milwaukee. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average superyacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kalinator on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is the head of the OEC group in Milwaukee, James Vanderloo, is here. We are talking tariffs. I just wanted to recap this a little bit from, again, our head of the Treasury Department, our Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, has claimed for months and months and months that tariffs are not paid by American consumers. Finally, in August, he was asked about this on MSNBC. So the tariff is paid in this country by the importer. Is that right? After initially saying, well, there could be substitutions. It could come from Argentina. It could come from Brazil. He was asked, who writes the check to the Treasury? Quote, well, the check is written to the person who receives it at the dock in the U.S. So that means, James, if I understand words, the importer, the person who is receiving the goods from overseas, they are the ones who write the check to the government.
That is absolutely correct. And I will even give the, you know, the devil is due and say where that idea comes from, where other countries pay tariffs. Where that idea comes from is this idea that then once the importer realizes that they have to pay a higher duty, they then have to go to their supplier overseas and have the and try to negotiate. And that's happening a lot too. So again, this idea of what are the companies spending their time on now? Well, they're spending their time on having to go back to China, India, all these other places where they've been had these relationships for, you know, in many cases, several years, and renegotiate, say, hey, we're paying tens of thousands of dollars more for our products than we had in the past. You guys need to provide some relief to it. And there's a lot of cases where, especially in cases where China, where margins are already quite thin, where they don't really have much room to be able to negotiate that. But that's where that idea comes from. But in practice, it's absolutely not true. And obviously, the importer pays for the duty here.
And the therefore
pass it on.
Right. And the exporter may lower the price of their goods, which is where their hit comes. They may do that.
May. Correct.
But ultimately, correct. It is paid by the importer, and then that is passed on to the consumer. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Correct. Absolutely.
I could have told you that.
That was tariff class 101. Yeah. I just think it's important to keep explaining to folks because there has been a lot of misinformation out there from people who you would think would know better.
Absolutely.
I don't know any better. So,
this I mentioned before we went to the break that U.S. housing seen its biggest decline in since May. Housing starts are down. This is not good. Because housing continues to be a big problem across the United States.
Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that obviously in the materials and everything like that come over. You're starting to see that those aren't coming over in the same capacity that they have been in recent months, obviously, with the upstarts. Everything from my perspective is there's still, I think around a $4 million shortage in terms of what people are looking for. Prices continue to be near the highest they've ever been. I think you're seeing a little bit of a cooling off, which is, really kind of interesting from a standpoint. But if there are some, it's I think people are waiting maybe for the mortgage rates to decrease. I think maybe looking for an interest rate cut here soon. I don't know if that will, spur that up again. But we're seeing it in even the orders of the building materials where you're not seeing those come in as much as in the past.
Well, we've got tariffs on lumber now coming in from Canada and all kinds of things related to the building industry. So,
and my final question to you for today, because I don't know if we'll have you on beforehand, but, the holidays are right around the corner, whether we like it or not. They're months away, but they're, shopping will begin soon. Advertisements will begin soon. What, James, do you see will be affecting homes for the holidays as far as gift prices, not travel prices, but how will these tariffs be affecting our prices for the things we need to consume as consumers?
You're going to see some increases, marginal increases on most things that are coming in. And just so you, for your frame of reference, basically most retailers need to have their goods in either right now or very, very shortly after it. When you get into October, you're getting a little too late at that point. So right now is kind of the time where if you're not on the shelves, you're probably not going to be making it. I've been looking at sort of conflicting numbers as to what I think. Obviously, there's always a little bit of an optimism with holiday shopping. But kind of going back to your guys's point earlier is of like really determining like what is the effect of this. It's really hard because all of these additional costs, whether it's the inputs or whether it's the transportation, everything like that, all of that adds up kind of behind the scenes where you can't really tie it to necessarily one tariff or another. It just all of these costs continuously adding up creates, problems for businesses. And we'll see probably in the next few months whether the businesses are able to pay for all of this.
Well, and Brendan on the live stream actually says, the housing industry is going to be in a world of hurt because a big part of their labor force is gone.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to consider as well.
Mm-hmm. It's all costs going up for us, the American taxpayers. So, we always appreciate, James, you coming by and sharing the information you have because it's great to break this down. We are not import exporters.
We are not.
We are import exporter adjacent.
This is the time to get into it, guys. It's really fun and captivating.
We were into imports, exports for James before it was even cool.
Oh, yeah. I've been import exporting.
We've been talking tariffs for months now.
That's right. You guys probably know more than I do, honestly.
Oh, boy.
That's absolutely not true. James Vanderloo is the head of OEC Group in Milwaukee. Really appreciate your time, James, in helping us navigate through these times. And I know we will have you back very, very soon. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks a bunch, guys.
We got news coming up next, and then when we come back, Audio Sorbet talking technology. Are you the helper or the helpee? That's me. That's all coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Republicans are putting together a package of bills to reform education in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
These bills aren't even drafted yet, so there weren't a ton of details available at a press conference this week. But Republicans in the Assembly focused heavily on districts with declining enrollment and declining funding. One of their big solutions is to encourage more districts to combine. There are more than 400 of them across Wisconsin, and record numbers of them are going to referendum, asking residents to increase their own taxes just to keep the district afloat. Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie.
Consolidation has long-term positive effects on both students and taxpayers. So we need to stop the cycle of never-ending referendums. Now, Democrats might argue that the solution is simply to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that there are just less kids being born today than there were 20 years ago.
School advocates and administrators say declining enrollment isn't the problem. It's the formula itself and a lack of funding from lawmakers. State school aid has not kept up with inflation for more than a decade. Republicans' plans also include revamping the math curriculum and what they're calling a teacher's bill of rights, which they say would standardize discipline for students. They also want Wisconsin to opt in to a federal school choice program passed as part of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer criticized Republicans' plans, saying, quote, Republicans' K-12 education plans won't address the challenges facing working families or give our kids the opportunities they deserve. We shouldn't be talking about consolidating districts. We should be investing in our local schools, end quote. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some of the Republicans' proposals have already been brought up in the legislature in past sessions and failed. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwava. A true Hollywood icon has passed away. Robert Redford died September 16th at his home in Sundance, Utah. Redford was born in Santa Monica, California in 1936. Prior to his acting career, he played college baseball, worked in oil fields in California, and studied painting in Europe. He got his first television role on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, then landed a role on Broadway in Neil Simon's The Way We Were. He would later play opposite Barbara Streisand in the movie version as well. He followed that up with his breakout role in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid opposite Paul Newman. Redford was an accomplished director and producer in addition to his acting talents. His credits included All the President's Men, The Sting, Sneakers, and The Natural. Redford won a slew of awards in his career, including an Oscar for Best Director for the film Ordinary People and an honorary Oscar in 2002 for directing, acting, producing, and founding the Sundance Institute. He was also presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. Robert Redford was 89 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Still staying unseasonably warm today with highs climbing to the mid-80s. The chance of showers and storms returning by early evening. They do look to keep us damp through the night, leaving us tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies, highs cooler, flirting with 80, and more showers and storms by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Frank Hermans. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should
like,
tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. The deadline clock is ticking in Washington, D.C. on a spending bill when we have a government shutdown. We'll discuss it with Pat Kreitlow of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn Show 4 to 6 across the network. In the 5 o'clock hour, she's going to talk about insurance premiums.
Oh, boy.
And what those could like, especially for people in the ACA.
Yes, when we talked about that last week, and right now Senator Baldwin, as well as a senator from New Hampshire whose name escapes me right now, is trying to help those who are on the ACA.
Because if those premiums could go up.
Double.
Yep.
What ours will already go up.
Yeah.
If you have traditional access to health care, that is.
So, again, join Maggie today. She's going to talk to State Senator Kristen Dessler-Alfheim from the Fox Valley. Later on today, 4 to 6, Maggie Dawn Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the portion of the show where we try to get away from politics and the heavy things and just take a breath. We call it audio sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we lighten your...
What?
We clean your...
just let me do the line.
I'm sorry.
Audio sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
I think we need an opener. I think that should
yeah,
be the opener.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Audio sorbet today, 855-752-4842. We would love to hear from you. Technology, are you the helper or are you the helpee? Seems to be there's usually one person in the household. Can you help me do this thing that I don't understand?
I can't sign into the thing. What's our password?
How do I do that thing?
Why do I have to update the... what's firmware?
855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We talk about this because I am the help. I need help. In so many ways.
It's like a Taylor Swift song. Hi, I'm the help. It's me.
I need the help. Yes. The call is coming from inside the house.
And you don't know how to answer that call,
exactly.
Jane.
I can't get to my voicemails, which was a thing that came up yesterday with Craig. I go to get my voicemail and it says, enter the passcode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a passcode for my voicemail.
You don't have a passcode for your virtual voicemail.
Which I never... asked for.
You don't have a choice. You just get it. It's on your phone. It's been around since the iPhone came out, like nearly 20 years ago.
I don't want it.
It's not a good or bad thing. It's not something you pay for. It's not like it's coming to take your...
It's confusing me.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just for the record, Jane Matinair is not 1,000 years old either. You make it seem like I don't understand technology. You're not that old.
But in some areas, I feel helpless.
Okay.
Well, I do. And I don't, maybe I am the only one who still thinks that I can break my computer. If I download, I went to a gaming platform. Calvin can back me up on this because he knows I'm a legitimate gamer. Right, Calvin? Calvin?
Right.
Jane Thank you.
Is a gamer.
He is a gamer. I am a gamer. And so I went to Steam, which is a gaming platform.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like an app store.
Yeah.
And there is a prototype of a game that's coming out on the 23rd that I wanted to play, and I tried to download it yesterday and I think I broke something.
You didn't break anything.
That's what Calvin said.
Yeah. You didn't break anything.
But it's not working.
The game isn't working. But we figured out why the game isn't working, because you're not using the right operating system, or the compatible operating system for the demo. Welcome to Greg and Calvin Fix Jane's Technology. This really isn't an audio sorbet. It's more like geek squads, but for radio.
Just a geek squad for me. I know I am not the only one. 855-752-4842. Are you the helper Or are you the technology help E?
Yeah.
Maybe I am the only one. 855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream says, since I have an IT degree, I have always been the help desk of my family and friends. I bet, PJ, you can't escape it.
If that's going to be the case, fine. You're a good person for helping out. But I would go one step further if this is the scenario you find yourself in, which is, all right, you want some help? You need to submit a help desk ticket. Tell me your problem. I'll get to it when I can. And then, PJ, present to them a bill.
They don't have
to pay the bill. They just have to understand that as Abraham Lincoln once said, a lawyer's advice is their stock and trade. Know what your stock and trade is. If you're giving out free help, I'm getting real mean right now. I don't know why, but I just feel like if people are coming at you for your expertise, they should understand that you charge for this.
You charge for it. Yeah. Calvin, you must be the helpy in your household. You're pretty tech.
Help or.
Yes, you're the helper in your household because you're pretty tech savvy.
Yes, I am the helper. And I will say, usually you would think the helper is the youngest. That's not exactly true. I'm the oldest of three kids.
Yeah.
And we're all pretty close, so it's not like there's a technological gap or anything.
Right.
But I consistently have to help my younger brother. I'll give my sister credit. She's pretty self-sufficient. But my younger brother is always like, can you help me figure this out? And I will say the biggest frustration is when I don't know how to do it and I Google it and you are just as capable of Googling things as I am.
See, and I think we've gotten to the root problem here with this, Calvin, is that your brother says, can you help me? He knows you'll say yes, so he's less inclined to simply type into his device that he probably needs help with to say, how do I do this thing? Because he knows you'll do it for him.
So you are essentially becoming my mother in telling me to go look it up.
Yes. Yes, that is the new, yeah.
That is the new go look it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say,
okay,
you can Google as good as I can. Excuse for my brother and sister works. In a lot of cases, it is a lot more efficient for me to Google something as opposed to my dad Googling it. So I will say, I have some skills with Google that are beneficial to others.
Well, and I have Googled things for help, but sometimes I find the help suggestions more confusing than the problem that I started with.
Well, and that's, I will say this, that is maybe one of the benefits of using AI in the internet webosphere. That's right. I said that is that when I look up things for instructions, like a lot of times, like using a piece of software, it will lay out the instructions steps very well, or at the very least give you a link to go find somewhere else. So in the world of, especially in, like, you know, if you're looking for a printed version of YouTube University, you want the step-by-step. That's where AI can be helpful. And you kind of can't get away from it nowadays with Google. They shove AI at the very
at
top.
At you, yes.
But yeah, I mean, definitely. If it was my brother or sister, Calvin, I could definitely say Google's free, my dude. But to your dad, I get that. Now, I'm very unique in the situation of I never have to help my mother with any of that stuff.
Really?
My mother has been both tech savvy as well as very tech open-minded for a long time. We had a computer. She had to have a computer at home for work, so we always had a computer. She made herself aware of how they work so she could fix them if she needed to.
For her.
Yeah, so I've never had to really help her with any technology. Maybe something with a television, because televisions always change. And even sometimes I'm stumped because I feel like, especially with televisions, I'm like, my thought is, I just want to watch this. Why are you making everything so difficult right now? So I am very, very lucky. In our house, in between my wife and I would say neither. I don't have to help her either. Like, it's pretty self-explanatory. Our devices are very simple anyways. It's not like I'm sitting here cracking codes and rewriting operating systems. I'm like, oh, just try pressing that button. It's literally a series of guesses until I get to where I need to go.
But again, you're doing it with the confidence that you're not going to somehow break your system.
That, and also I'm doing it with the confidence that I could eventually get to the point where I have to say, I don't know. For me, the fix is not the all-encompassing goal. It's about, let me rephrase that. The fix is the goal. Getting there without feeling like I don't know something is fine. If I have to look it up or I say you have to ask somebody else, that's sure. Fine by me.
Sure. 855-752-4842, our audio sorbet today. When it comes to technology, are you the helper or are you the helpee in your household? I am definitely the one asking for help.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. My mother is no longer with us, but I know my sister Kathy used to spend so much time with her just to get emails.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I can't go on right now.
You're going to incriminate someone?
I don't want to. I mean, I will say this. I know somebody who I have helped a few times. Not a lot, but I've gone with my friends to their house. Special trips to almost do a kind of a, all right, what do we need to work on?
Should we go through the basics, giving them a basic class?
Well, not even basic class. Honestly, no. At that point, the last time I did it a couple of years ago, I was like, I'm happy to stop by and help because, you know, it's a good visit. It's a good hang. And I'm fine with doing it. They're not far away. But it's just about like, all right, kind of give me the roundup of what we need to do. Do we need to switch the TVs? Do we need to do this? Do that? Blah, blah, blah. And we take care of it. It's done. Because honestly, calling them.
I might as well just jump
off a building.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to relay those instructions is almost worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream says, yes, my family and friends do compensate my services with food or money.
I love that.
Well, that's good, PJ. Glad to hear that.
Know your worth.
Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Are you the helper or are you the helpee when it comes to technology?
But I would prefer when I ask my kids for help, if they would explain how to do something rather than get upset and say, well, you just, this is it. If they would explain it so that I could do it myself the next time.
Yeah. So if they would take you through, if they would take you through the steps.
Well, and Ollie, I would even take it one step further. Now, I'm not going to delve into the interactions between your family. I understand the frustrations on both sides, but I think in this situation, and I've done this before for other people, writing it down step by step is great too.
That helps.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
And especially if you're face to face. Because you go, I mean, I think we've all been there where you get on Google and it says, all right, go to this thing and tap this button and look for the thing that says this. And it doesn't say that because they've changed it because the instructions are old. So I think, Ollie, like if they have to help you, like sit down together, write the step by step. That way you have something to refer to. You don't have to call them. I mean, call them if you want. They're your family. But it just makes it easier for you then. Then you don't have to be, waiting for help or waiting for a response.
And again, it's empowering, Ollie, right? If they teach you how to do the steps, that is a little more empowering than just having it done for you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Ollie. Appreciate it. And our last shout out goes to Casper, one of our engineers at Civic, who says, welcome to my life.
You signed up for it, buddy. You signed up
for it. Hey, Casper, I got a question for you about Steam. I'll call you later. Stay with us when we come back. We will wrap it up as we do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Firefest, What Could Go Wrong This Time edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast.
It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we had audio sorbet. We were talking about technology. And if you are the helper or the helpee in your household, and we had one last email, one last text that came in that we wanted to share.
Yes, Kurt from Eau Claire, listening to WCFW, says, I'm the go-to guy in my family. My dad got a new cell phone. He called me after frustration with the new phone provider. Then he got a new TV. I soon got a call saying, I can't get anything. Of course, it's always selecting the correct input. And that's what I always find to be the chief problem, is just that one thing that's either clicked wrong or missed completely.
And or the cable's in the wrong thing.
And sometimes I'll even like work a little harder when really you just like open and go, it's fixed. You don't want to make it feel.
You want to make them feel bad.
Exactly. It's like, there you go. We're done. No problem. Let's talk. How's family?
That's
you know?
Nice. Yeah. That's nice.
Thank you for getting in touch,
Kirk. Yep. Yeah. Appreciate it. Hey, Brewers action coming up later on today. Our broadcast will start at 6:05 as the Brewers host the Angels. You can listen on terrestrial radio. You can't listen on the stream, but catch it on WRCE in Richland Center, WCQM in beautiful Park Falls, WBZA WRJH in Hayward and also here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. Our broadcast of the Brewers hosting the Angels starts tonight at 6:05. Coming up tomorrow, because it's Thursday, Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, will be here after the 9:30 news. We'll talk about lots of cases in the courts, stalled in the courts, working their way through the courts.
Some decisions coming through this week, too. Yep. So,
James Vanderloo also mentioned that about the tariffs. That is still going through the courts. So that and Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine in hour number two. Beautiful summer day here right now in southeastern Wisconsin.
Just wait.
And and J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, their sports guru, will be here after 10:30 to talk all things sports. I'm sure we'll talk about the Brewers and the Packers and much, much more. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:55. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from CNBC. No one with the byline. No one wants to own this one. LimeWire acquires Fyre Festival, asking, what could possibly go wrong? Again. We've talked about the Fyre Festival before.
This story will not go away.
Boy, they just keep thinking there's a way to make money on this.
Yeah, it's just let it go. Seriously, there are reasons why shows are canceled after one season.
For those who do not know, give us a brief overview of the debacle that has been Fyre Fest 1, 2, 3, and now 4.
Well, this was the attempt at Fyre Fest 2, but Billy McFarlane is the man who put on Fyre Fest 1, and 1 was all we needed, where he put together a festival on an island, and it cost a lot of money.
Big money.
The problem is that either artists were pulling out or never signed up, and people got there, and it was inconvenient.
There were no accommodations. There were no toilets. There was no food and water. I don't know, basic things.
Yeah, so it was and he went to jail for it, too. And then he got out of jail, Billy McFarlane. Yeah, that's his real name. He's an adult calling himself Billy McFarlane. He got out and said he's going to do Fyre Fest 2. Well, Fyre Fest 2 was great, but the problem was he had gotten no permits, and the government of the island he was going to use said, yeah, he can't do that here. Oops. And so that fell apart, too. So then he sold Fyre Fest, the brand, for was $245,000, and now LimeWire, you know, the thing you illegally downloaded music off of in the 90s and 2000s, it was like, that's like, it's like C-tier Napster. They bought the brand because they think they can do something.
It's funny that you
say. They made two documentaries on this.
The opening paragraph in this article, LimeWire, the file sharing service that set the internet ablaze in the 2000s, before being shut down for copyright infringement, said it is acquiring the rights to Fyre Festival, and it appreciates the irony. LimeWire acquires Fyre Festival brand. What could possibly go wrong? From the company release.
Do you think what's going to happen is that LimeWire got Fyre Festival and they're just going to put it on their system as Bonnaroo and people will just download it and then get sued again because they don't have anything original? Seriously, this story, Jane, made me find out that LimeWire was still around. I figure they were gone. Please. The internet, stop making us talk about Fyre Fest.
For years, LimeWire operated as a competitor to Napster before effectively being shut down in 2020 after a judge ruling it had done naughty, naughty, big scale copyright violations. And then it was purchased in 2022 by some Austrian brothers who turned it into an NFT.
Oh, God, even worse.
LimeWire CEO Julian Zettmeier says Fyre became a symbol of hype gone wrong. It also made history. We are not bringing the festival back. We're bringing the brand and the meme back to life.
Read the first sentence of that quote again.
Fyre became a symbol of hype gone wrong, but it also made history.
Yeah, so let's invest.
I know, right?
Standing in front of a group of people, why should I invest? Because this was a branding that went wrong. Let me tell you more.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former CDC Director Susan Menares on Capitol Hill clarifying what her former boss, Health Secretary Robert Kennedy, said about her during his own hearing 2 weeks ago.
My tenure as CDC Director lasted 29 days. Since my removal, several explanations have been offered: that I told the secretary I would resign, that I was not aligned with the administration priorities, or that I was untrustworthy. None of those reflect what actually happened.
She says she wouldn't pre-approve vaccine recommendations without scientific evidence and wouldn't fire officials without concrete reasons. That, she says, is what happened. President Trump taking part in his second state visit in the UK. He's at Windsor Castle now. The Federal Reserve wrapping up its two-day meeting. Interest rates expected to be cut when the meeting concludes this afternoon. This is ABC News.